What's up, Atlanta?
It is a gorgeous but very steamy Saturday afternoon here in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. Chris Thomas, E! Producer Eric Slaughter is with me today. We got ourselves a little marathon show today. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but 4.5 long hours in the Kia Studios. You and me and all the lovely people out there listening to 92.9 The Game. You ready for it, my guy?
I'm ready for it. We've done this maybe once or twice before, I think. We had that extra little bit, and we got spoiled 2 weeks ago with a little 3 hours. That's like doing nothing, right?
Yeah, that's a catnap radio show, my guy. That is what we call a catnap radio show, my guy. All right, here's where I want to start. Atlanta Hawks had their summer league debut last night. Very good. Honestly, I was very, very impressed by what I saw. I saw Zachary Richache. He has a bag on him, guys. And this is what I tweeted this out last night. By the way, give me a follow at C Thomas Radio, and we can chat about all things Atlanta sports. We've been telling you that the reason the Hawks liked Richache is because he's a versatile player. He can score. He can defend. Kid's got a bag on him. Now, obviously, it's going to take a long time for him to become what he'll eventually be in the NBA, which is hopefully a number one pick worthy player. That's what the goal is, right? But we saw a sign from him, and then we saw a sign from Nikola Jurcic as well. He looked pretty good. He had 7 points. He showed some moves, and not going to lie, I liked what I saw. I went in... I'd say I had neutral expectations for what the Hawks were going to showcase, and I was pleasantly surprised. So here's what we're going to talk about today at 404-726-0929. We're going to start here. I'm going to let you hear something right off the bat from Hawks GM Landry Fields. Because if you haven't heard this yet, he spoke this week. Boy, did he. And he continues this marvelous trend he seems to do here, and that is insert open mouth, insert foot seems to be the theme. Don't give me that look, you know what I'm talking about. Every time he speaks, there seems to be something that comes out of his press conference that makes Hawks fans at the very least have a little bit of a side eye going on. And this time it was in regards to a question about Trae Young and his future in Atlanta. Now, you would think the obvious answer would be Trae Young is the face of the Atlanta Hawks. We are going to build around him. We're sorry it didn't work out with DJ, but Trae Young is the face and the future of the Hawks. E, do you think that's what he said?
Think? Well, we all know exactly what he said, so no, that's not what he said.
Okay, so if you missed it, cue it up for me. Here we go. This is what Landry Fields said when asked about the star player on the team and his future in Atlanta.
I think we're in a good spot, in terms of who will be on the roster and who won't. That's a question for another day.
Is it fair to say, though, that Trae Young will be on this roster?
We have a lot of value in Trae. We really do. We have a lot of value in DeJounte. But this is those moments where you have to make those hard decisions. So, from there on, we'll continue to build.
Okay. Now, let's pause for a second before we open up the phones to you guys at 404-726-0929. I just have one question. One little thing I want to know about this situation. Why? Why, Landry? Why did you answer the question like that? I don't, for the life of me, understand. Because you know what? Even if you did want to trade Trae Young, which I guess is certainly on the possibility of being on the table after that answer, you still should have said no. Because what does that do? That drives up the asking price. If the team thinks he's available, or another team, if the San Antonio Spurs think Trae Young is available, they're going to lowball you. So at the very least, you say, no, Trae Young is a stalwart. He's 28-10 a game. We want him on our squad. He's the best player on our team, and he's one of the 15 best players in the NBA. So then if, the Phoenix Suns come a-calling and they want, another point guard, because they didn't really have one last year, you're saying, okay, their GM believes in their best player, and they know that they want to maximize his value. So he did a double whammy there with that answer. Not only did he not give you concrete clarity that the best player on the team is going to remain the best player on the team, he also plummeted a trade value position by saying, well, you know, he kind of Brian Snickered it, if that makes sense. If you ever listen to a Brian Snicker quote as we play daily here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, you know Snit likes to start his answers with, well, I think the pitching could be better. And, you know, I think Adam Duvall is going to get out of his slump and he's a good hitter. That's how Landry Fields, excuse me, answered that question about Trae Young. So this brings me to my question, because now this is on the table. And I thought about it a lot last night. I thought about, when Turtle was doing a deep dive into the show prep last night, what should I lead with today? Because there's a lot of stuff. Braves won last night. Falcons training camp's on the way. And we'll get into all that stuff. Joe Patrick at 240 in his usual spot. All that good stuff. So 404-726-0929. Here's my question. Are you okay with a full rebuild for the Atlanta Hawks? I think you can make the case for it. As a matter of fact, let me attempt to do so right now. Trae Young on this team right now. E, I'm going to ask you a question. As this roster is presently constituted, does this team win more than, if I set the over-under at 42.5 wins, where are you going? Over-under.
Under.
Yeah, right?
Under.
So if that's the case with Trae Young, okay, what's the point? What's the point? If you have another winning losing season, you're also, here's the other thing, E, tick, tock, tick, tock. You know what that clock represents?
Trey's time to get out of town.
Read my mind. Simpatico, sir. That's from all these Saturdays working together. That is Trey's clock saying, I want the bleep out of here. So you have almost a guaranteed, unless they do something major, which there's that tax threshold that they don't want to go over, they're going to put themselves in a position for another losing season. So why not? Because I think this becomes a multi-pronged approach. You trade Trae Young, you get a good return for him back. Then I also think part deux of this situation is you trade Bogey. Because what is Bogey doing on this team at this point? He's not young enough to go through a rebuild, and he's got a lot of value to a potential playoff team.
But Bogey's a sharpshooter for hire. He's an assassin for hire for a team that says, man, give me that three-pointer. We're going deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, and go get the Lakers' next first-round pick for Bogey Bogdanovich. That's what you do. So 404-726-0929. Here's my plan. Just based off of what Landry Fields had to say, if they're really considering trading Trae Young, or if they're not beholden to him as the franchise piece, which he did not declare, would you be okay with a full rebuild? Because what is this season going to be anyway? I just asked E, 42.5 wins. Is that good enough? No, that's borderline play-in 8th to 10th seed territory, the same crap we've been dealing with for three seasons. So you might as well, right? And we saw last night, Risa Shea can score, man, he had 18. So you say, kid, this is your growing pains year. You're going to be the focal point of the offense. We're going to get another point guard on the cheap, some guy that's floating around there, because Kobe Bufkin's now hurt for summer league, so he's not going to be your lead dog. And you say, hey, we're just going to have this season be what it's going to be, and then next year we get another draft pick. We get draft picks for Trae Young. We get draft picks for Bogey. And now we're in a position where the arrow is pointed up. Because what position is the arrow pointed in right now? It's kind of just sideways, right? It's not really going up. It's not really going down. It's pretty much exactly where the Hawks have been the last, I don't know, three, four seasons now, right? It's this mediocre 8th seed, 9th seed, 10th seed crap. And that's what it's been. So that's my question to you today at 404-726-0929. Is trading Trae Young, and by proxy, in my opinion, Bogey, the better move for the Hawks at this point? Because what are they going to be anyway? They're not getting Brandon Ingram. They're not getting Paul George. They're not getting anybody. I mean, at this point, all the big moves are basically done. They're basically off the board. So the Hawks aren't bringing in a difference maker this year anyway, right? So if this year's going to just kind of be what it's going to be, why not expedite the process, just bite the bullet for one more year, and just do a full reset? I don't see why not. Basically, talk me into keeping Trae Young is essentially the point here. I know he's the face of the franchise. I know he's the star. I know he brings butts into the seats. But you're not winning with him. So what does it matter anyway? Like, you're just going to keep him for the sake of keeping him and wait until he asks out for a trade, and then you're dealing with a disgruntled player? You know? So that it got me to thinking, like, all right, Landry, if you're not going to commit to him anyway, you might as well just do it, right? Where are the Hawks right now? All right, 404-726-0929. Let's start with Brian. Brian, you're in the game. What do you think?
The Hawks haven't proven that they could get maximum value from their players yet. So I don't know if they would even have the mental to properly do a rebuild in the first place. And, I don't know, man. The big key is to get the maximum value from Trae Young if you're going to do a rebuild. If you don't, then you're just going to be in the weeds for 5 years. So
no, but Brian, here's the thing. You're not getting unless Landry Fields goes and Kyle Korver goes, these are the guys who are going to be doing the wheeling and dealing. So you're kind of just stuck with them for what it is.
All right. But like I say, man, the key is to get the maximum value. And when I say maximum value, I'm talking about, like, trade value.
No, I know what you mean, but I'm saying, like, these are going to be the guys that are doing it. So, like, if you do it now or if you do it next year, what does it matter? Like, it's still going to be the same dudes making the deal.
Yeah, that's true. But if you want to be a good team in the future, you're going to have to get the maximum value. You're going to have to get at least two first-round picks for Trae Young and Bogey.
No,
but have they proven that they can make those type of deals?
Right. No, I get it, and I thank you for the phone call. But you get what I'm saying? Like, these are the guys. Like, it doesn't. He keeps saying get maximum value. But if Landry Fields and Co. are the ones that are making the deal, you're gonna get what you're gonna get. It doesn't matter if it's now or later. They're the guys doing it, so you're kind of just stuck unless they fire them, which it doesn't look like they're going to do.
No, we're stuck with inexperienced executives running this team. And that's a issue. You know, when we brought in the Schlenk era, he had never been a GM, but he was with Bob Myers when they created the Golden State Warriors. Okay, so it's like, oh, you learned from one of the best. Now you bring in Landry Fields and Kyle Korver, and now they've got another guy from the Golden State tree. But really, these are inexperienced executives making these decisions, and we're seeing what happens. Landry Fields needs some tutelage. He needs some PR 101 training or something, because he's saying things that shouldn't be said, or his game plan. Like, hey, what's the game plan going into this press conference? I don't know. So,
no, and that's the thing, man. Like, I get what Brian was saying. In maximizing value, yes, obviously that's the goal every single time. And do I think they maximize the trade value on DeJounte Murray? No, sorry. I know there's been a lot of trying to publicly spin it that they got a good defender in Dyson Daniels and they recouped a couple of the picks that they lost. But when you do a deep dive into this situation, that trade was not good enough for me. But that's not what we're talking about today. All right, Steve, I see you. Hang tight. You're first when we get back. 404-726-0929. Are we just tearing this thing down to the stubs? Landry Fields not committing to Trae Young? Listen, if you're going to win 40 games again this year with Trae Young, you might as well just get what you can for him, right? What's the long-term plan? We saw Risa Shea last night. He appears to have it. Let's see what he does for the rest of Summer League, and maybe he's the guy you build around. What do you think? 404-726-0929. Your calls when we get back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, if it's going to be a multi-year rebuild anyway, if you're not going to win with him anyway, why not? I mean, get as much as you can and set the franchise in a new direction. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, Trae Young is our guy. He's the star. He's, you know, the most recognizable face in the city of Atlanta. I get it. But what good is it when your team stinks? And right now, there's no other way to put it. Sorry, but the Hawks, they stink. They're not a good basketball team. They haven't been for 3 years. The Eastern Conference Finals run is a long, distant memory. You are now talking about a team that is in complete flux and is in the middle of a complete restructuring of an ethos, Landry Fields, of an identity, of all the other buzzwords that this organization likes to use. Chris Thomas with you all the way until 6:30 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're taking your calls right now at 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929 because Landry Fields, we played the clip. Cue that up again for me real quick. Landry Fields, I can't even believe it anymore. I'm sorry. Like, there's just been five or six different instances over the last couple of years where he said some stuff that just your jaw is just left hanging on the floor about the responses to some of these questions, and none more so than this one. You trade your second best player. You would assume that you're now rebuilding around Trae, and it's a pretty simple formula. Well, when he was asked about it, instead, he chose to say this.
I think we're in a good spot. You know, in terms of who will be on the roster and who won't, you know, like that's a question for another day.
Is it fair to say, though, that Trae Young will be on this roster?
We have a lot of value in Trae. We really do. We have a lot of value in DeJounte. Like, but this is those moments where you have to make those hard decisions. So, you know, from there on, we'll continue to build.
Come on, Landry. Come on, my guy. We're better than this. You should be. You need to be better than that. What kind of an answer is that from the general manager of your team? Talking about your best player and the guy that should be the cornerstone, should be, of your future. And to give that kind of response, like, what are you thinking, my guy? As I explained in the first segment, not only is it just a bad answer in general, but you're also screwing yourself over by saying, well, I don't really know. Because then, if, again, for the example, if the Phoenix Suns want a point guard and they're willing to, you know, go to the 10th apron or whatever it is and just absolutely, you know, maul their cap situation for the next decade and get Trae Young, well, guess what? You just lowered his trade value. Because if the GM is coming out and saying that about the best player on the team, then if I'm the Phoenix Suns, I'm like, maybe I don't want him after all. If that's what the GM has to say about him after trading their second best player, come on now. All right, so what do you guys think? After all that said and done, would you be okay with a full rebuild for the Atlanta Hawks? I think after really thinking about it, I would be. I'm in favor of it now because I think that it's something that you might as well, given the point where you are. If you were able to bring in Brandon Ingram or Paul George or one of these guys that was available in the offseason, then obviously you go for it. But you didn't do that. You got Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance Jr., and a couple of guys no one's ever heard of that won't be on the roster. So that's what you're looking at right now. Are you going to trade Clint? Who wants Clint Capella right now? I don't know. Is there a team out there that wants Clint Capella? Doesn't seem like it. All right, to the phones at 404-726-0929. Steve starts us off. Steve, you're in the game.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Chris.
So, yes, sir.
I would say, as far as a rebuild is concerned, the only reason why I'm against it is because the Hawks don't have their own draft picks. I mean, they really screwed themselves over with that with the Murray trade, right? By getting rid of all their own draft picks. So, like, rebuilding with, you know, what is essentially going to be at best, you know, like mid-round picks is a dicey proposition because the Lakers are probably going to make the playoffs. You know, we just gave New Orleans probably the missing piece to what they needed in a very competent point guard. So, you know, it's going to be hard to rebuild with those, you know, 16, 17, 20, you know, 20 draft picks. So that's the only reason why I say you can't really go through a rebuild. As far as trading Trae Young is concerned, I mean, this front office and honestly, I think the whole blame for the Hawks situation falls on the ownership group, right? Because they are the ones who hire these people, these incompetent people who think that, like, yeah, trading Luka Doncic is a good idea. You know, trading away all your future draft picks for DeJounte Murray and then trading him for, like, you know, a bag of crumbled chips and, you know, basically nothing is a good idea. So, I mean, these guys clearly have no idea what they're doing. They're kind of learning on the job. And
well, Steve, let me ask you this, because I think you bring up a couple of good points. If you keep Trae Young, how many wins do you think he's worth for this team this year?
So here's what I would do. I feel like Trae Young, you have to really protect Trae Young with this by giving him a competent big man, not a 6'8 power forward, and try to have him go up against, you know, legit 7-footers like you have in the Eastern Conference, right? Like sending Clint Capella against Joel Embiid or sending 00 against, you know, Giannis is definitely like a fool's errand, right? You're not setting these guys up for success. So if I was a Hawks, here's what I would do. I would go out and get DeAndre Ayton from Portland. I know he's been, you know, a bit of a disappointment as a number one overall pick, but he does have talent and potential. Portland just drafted Klingman from UConn, right? I'm sure if you came to them with a deal that you could probably maybe trade Hunter or somebody, you know, you could possibly get out from, you know, get Hunter or Ayton from Portland. Now you have a competent big man who can score, who can protect Trae Young a little bit, and now you could hopefully build a good team around him. You know, you have Bogey, Johnson, you know, Hunter, or not Hunter, but Ayton, and, you know, maybe throw a 00 out there to get some rebounds and grab and play some defense. To me, that's a team that could legitimately compete. Is it a championship-caliber team? I don't know, with good coaching, maybe, but it's a lot better than what they are doing.
No, Steve, and I appreciate the phone call. You bring up a bunch of good points, but here's the problem. Money, 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 money. E, if you had to guess, what does DeAndre Ayton make over the next 2 years before he's in UFA?
35 mil on average, so 120 over the next 3 years.
Bang on, 34 and 35 for the next 2 years. That's what DeAndre Ayton's making. You know what the Hawks aren't going to do? Pay him $34 million a year. I know you have to make the money work in the NBA. It still ain't going to happen. They're just not going to do it. Like, that's the problem. Like, that's the problem. Hunter makes, what, 25? And then you need to throw in another $10 million just to make it work? Dude's going to want a new contract, man. You're telling me you're going to give up all those assets to have him for the next 2 years and then he's going to walk? No. He's going to want $50 million a year. And are the Hawks going to pay him that? Sorry. So it's a good idea. But unless Tony Ressler, Landry Fields, and Kyle Korver have a come-to-Jesus meeting and say, all right, this isn't working. We're not trading Trae Young and we're going all in. And they're willing to spend in ways they haven't before. I think Ayton would be a perfect fit because he would have to do one thing. That's stand underneath the basket, catch lobs from Trae, and dunk. And he'd average 25 a game and he'd have career year. They're just not going to do it, though, because of the money. And that's the really, really unfortunate part. Ozzie's in Decatur. You're up next.
Hey, Chris, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Answering the initial question, am I okay with the rebuild? Do I want to rebuild? The answer for me would be no, but that's only prior to the DeJounte trade. Now that we've, you know, essentially given away our second best piece in a lot of people's eyes, I just think that the group that we have leading the team right now is really, really banking on Jalen Johnson to take that next step. Can he do it? That it's yet to be seen. But is it worth trading Trae Young right now? I don't think so, truly. You have to be some type of competitive. Bottoming out in the NBA without your own draft picks is pretty obsolete. So I'll ask you, you mentioned one team, the Suns. Who else really needs a point guard right now?
I mean, I would, if I'm the Lakers, I'm still interested in Trae Young, right? You think?
I hear that, but like,
you're going to run Dalton Connect as a rookie?
Do you have what it takes to get Trae Young?
I mean, at this point, what are you willing to accept, right? Because what team, like, what? There's no team that's bad enough that would make sense to trade for a guy making $45 million a year, right? Like, any team that's going to have a lottery pick, why are they taking on all that salary for a player that's not, what is he, 25, 26 years old, who's not a veteran, like, old head just to bring in, but he's also not 19. So, I mean, he's at an age and a point in his career where he needs to be playing on a true contender. But a true contender, right, Ozzie, is not going to get you a good enough pick in return. So that's the problem with it. But at what point do you just cut your losses and say, this isn't working and we need to reset the franchise? That's what the question I'm asking.
And I hear that, and unfortunately, the answer is, you know, you do it for the kids right now. This marriage isn't working, but you got to do it for the kids right now, man. And it's going to be tough, but we're going to be a 7th, 8th, 9th seed for the next 3 years. Trae Young's going to continue to average 28-11, and, you know, we'll have our spurts of 8 wins and then lose 12 of 15, and Quinn Snyder will keep yelling about defense, and those boys won't move their feet.
But then what happens, Ozzie? But what happens at the end of that second year when Trae Young finally gets pissed off and says, I want out? Then what are you going to do?
Guess what? He walks for free like everyone else does, man. I hate to be the pessimist, but I think we're stuck here.
You're not letting him walk for Ozzie. I got to let you go because I'm up against the break. But come on, man. You're a franchise player for the last 8-9 years at that point. You're not letting him walk. Come on, guys. Listen, I know is it that bad? Is that where we are, Hawks fans? I got Ozzie calling me up, was making good points, and then he ends his call by saying you let him walk and get nothing for him. My goodness. Is that where we are today? At 404-726-0929. Last one before we catch a break. Meat is in Atlanta. Meat, what do you got?
What's up, man? I was totally against trading Trae Young. But Landry Fields is an idiot. Ownership is an idiot. He just went in. He couldn't even commit to the best player we had since Dominique. Trae should request a trade today.
Well, me, I appreciate the phone call. You know what? I'm not going to do the name-calling thing, but it definitely was open mouth, insert foot. I will say that because you put yourself in by that one answer, you set yourself down two rabbit holes that are both negative. You're not committing to your star. So what message is that sending to the franchise, to the organization, to the fans? And then you're also hurting his potential trade value. Because if you're Landry Fields, I need you to say Trae Young is the best player to ever put a Hawks uniform on. So if you want him, you better come get him. You better give me 2 first-round picks and a starting caliber player. But by saying, well, maybe, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, Allison Mastrangelo, hell of a job. That's our buddy from Channel 2. She put him in the vice grip, and he was not ready to handle it, man. It's just a disaster. All right, great job on the phone so far to start. My man Ozzie has me rolling right now out in Decatur talking about letting Trae Young walk after 2 years. Ozzie, I love you, man. That was funny. All right, 404-726-0929. More of your phone calls at the top of the hour. So if you're on hold, stay there or give us a call back at 3 o'clock on the dot. Going to open up the phone lines once again. But coming up next, he was a warrior on the court, on the pitch for the 92.9 The Game Summer Games. We'll talk to him about that and the Falcons camp, which opens up in just a couple of days. Joe Patrick, a legend, a hero, a winner, joins us next. That's right. Team Dukes in the 92.9 The Game inaugural summer game. Sweet, sweet victory. The nectar of victory came their way. A morsel of greatness. A time had by all that will live in the bowels of 92.9 The Game. The annals of lore, of passion, desire, and greatness. That's what our Joe Patrick got to experience as he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, did I accurately describe your time during the inaugural 92.9 The Game Summer Games?
Oh, Chris, I enjoyed that so much. You know, that's why we play the game, so that we get to hear those plaudits about ourselves and think greatly about ourselves, and that's really what this is all about. But no, and the other thing is that we let it wire to wire. We never let it go. You know, we basically had this thing in hand. We actually gave them an opportunity to salvage something in the last day, and then we snuffed that hope. So yeah, it was a total domination by Team Duke.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear Bo Johnson talking about rules and all that. Listen, man,
unbelievable antics from Bo Johnson. Could not believe that.
Yeah, from a guy that really, you know, is one of the stalwarts here at 92.9 The Game, a real hard hat kind of guy. I'm just disappointed in that response and that he couldn't, you know, on a day where he got to bring his beautiful family to the water park free of charge and have a great day. That was his response at the end of it. I just, just really, you know, a miss by our very own Bo Johnson. But all right, plenty to talk about, Joe. Camp is opening up very soon. Some might say too soon based on the state of the Falcons defense and the holes that continue to be there. I've been asking you all summer, and I'm going to ask you again, is this team just rolling with either Mike Hughes or Clark Phillips at CB2?
Yeah, I think so. And we'll see if it lands that way on like, you know, for opening kickoff week one. But I would think that will be it, because even guys who get cut from other rosters are probably not going to be at the caliber even of these guys. And so, yeah, I mean, listen, this defense is a major gamble by the Falcons this year in terms of getting this defense to the caliber that it will need to be if this team wants to accomplish what it wants to, which is obviously to win the NFC South and then even do some damage in the playoffs, I think. But obviously that first goal is just to win the division. And you're going into it with, I think, a major question mark at that CB2 position. And by the way, at the CB1 position, you have a major question mark there long-term, where you have yet to sign A.J. Terrell to a contract extension, which I thought would have happened by now. So that's another kind of curious point. And we'll see. It seems obviously less likely now that gets wrapped up before training camp starts. So TBD on that front as well on the long term, but then also, you know, the pass rush, which I know, Chris, you've been, you know, out in front of more than anybody talking about the question marks around that position and how the Falcons obviously went away from addressing it with their top draft pick in this most recent draft. So there are a lot of questions about this defense, but I think ultimately the gamble is that the Falcons are leaning on Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator, to basically coach these guys up and get them. I don't think this, you know, front office is under any illusions that this is going to be some great defense or anything, but I think that the way they think about it is, can we get to league average or maybe even a little bit below league average, because they expect their offense to be that good. And that's just the way that they're going to approach this season. It's going to be a big departure from what the Falcons team has been these last 3 years.
All right. So the rebuttal to that is always, they're going to scheme up sacks and they're going to scheme up coverage. Right. But Joe, you need to have players that are able to do that. I don't care what your approach is. You need to have if your approach is, I'm going to let my corners go on an island one-on-one, well, you better have Stephon Gilmore and Darrell Revis back there to cover those guys. Like, I don't care what the strategy is, but you need the horses that are able to do it. Did we lose Joe Patrick there?
Yeah, sorry about that. My headphones died there. No, Chris, like, I'm with you. You know, I think the model is essentially what the Rams were last year in terms of what they plan to do with the defense, which is, you know, that Rams defense didn't have star players on it, but they were like, you know, they still weren't even I wouldn't consider them a good defense at all, or maybe even an average defense, but they weren't embarrassingly bad, and they made offenses work, you know, for what they got on the field. And I think that this team thinks that the Falcons offense is going to be a little bit better than that Rams offense was even last year, even though they had, you know, that was especially by the end of the year, that offense was really rolling, and I think that's what the Falcons would hope to see. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It is it is a gamble. But I mean, I think that you look specifically at what their hopes are for what Raheem Morris can do with the young players specifically. And so in that draft, they obviously didn't go with the defense on with that first pick that they had in the top 10, but then it was a slew of defensive picks after that. And so I think that's really what they're going to be relying on. And it will be interesting. I think there's also some strategy in terms of how they want to like structure and build this defense long-term, because you also have guys like Grady Jarrett, who is a big question mark coming into this season, obviously coming off the injury and the contract that he has and the age that he's on, and what kind of the strategy is going to be in terms of constructing these contracts with some of your key players on that defensive side of the ball going into the future.
All right, on the offensive side now, as we're talking with our buddy Joe Patrick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Thomas with you until 6:30. How much of a leash does Caleb McGarry get, especially early on, because Kirk probably isn't going to be at 100%. If he can't pass block or doesn't make a major improvement, do you think, despite the contract, that they'd pull him early?
You know, it will be interesting to see what happens if that does happen. I will say that I think Caleb McGarry was a little bit better last year pass blocking than we remember, because the bad was so bad, and it was especially early in that season when I think it was that first game against the Panthers where he was just getting absolutely smoked by Brian Burns. That was tough to see. But then I think, you know, the team actually got pretty good pass protection out of Storm Norton, who's still on the roster as this team's swing tackle. And, you know, if things do get off to a bad start for Caleb McGarry, I am also curious, Chris, because I talked to Dwayne Ledford earlier this summer, and I kind of was just sitting with him, and we kind of just went through, you know, basically left to right across the offensive line, like, you know, what he sees in these players. And, you know, while there are some concerns, obviously, with what Caleb McGarry can do in the pass protection game, what he offers in the run game, and it's similar to Drew Dahlin, what he offers in the run game is quite unique. Like, there aren't a lot of right tackles who can really kind of blow guys not just off the ball, but then drive them 5-10 yards like Caleb McGarry can do from that right tackle spot. So I think that he still does offer this offensive line some benefits. He's still a quality player, but you're right. I think they're going to have to be a little strategic in terms of how they design their pass protections to help Caleb McGarry and not leave him on an island. And I think that, you know, it's great to have a quarterback, frankly, like Kirk Cousins, who's going to be able to check into those things and help be able to even potentially design some of this stuff throughout the week when he's looking at the opponent and he's, you know, thinking about the, you know, his experiences in the past and trying to help Caleb McGarry, because obviously it's in Kirk Cousins' interest to make sure that his bases are covered on all fronts. So it is something to watch out for sure. And I think that that's one of the reasons why this team has yet to kind of really invest in Caleb McGarry in the long term. They're kind of like, they gave him the contract extension, but it's one where they can kind of bail out of it at any time. So I think it's kind of a big prove it year for Caleb McGarry, to be honest.
All right, you are, if I'm not mistaken, on the call for the pre and post game for Atlanta United today.
I am.
What do you make of what's gone on there the last couple of weeks, Joe?
Man, it is absolutely insane what's happening at Atlanta United right now with all the players that have gone out. Now there's rumors of players who are coming in, but they wouldn't be able to come in at the earliest until sometime next week, so we'll see how those rumors have developed. At the same time, on the field, you had interim head coach Rob Valentino come in, had a decent unbeaten run, although I would kind of, you know, say that it's not like the team, I think, was playing a whole lot different. I think that they just so happened to, like, get the, you know, they just started kind of getting the breaks like these interim coaches tend to do when they first come in. But now this team has lost 3 games in their own all competitions, including a really backbreaking one to a lower league team in a trophy competition where you had a real chance to win a trophy in the U.S. Open Cup. They lost to Indy 11 here at home at Kennesaw last week, and it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from that. This is a lot of road games for this team. It'll be their third consecutive league road game in a row, third road game out of 4 in all competitions. So tough. These are the toughest part of the season for the squad because it's depleted with these guys who have left the team and the talent hasn't come in yet. So you just got to try to survive for these next 3-4 games or so. And it's a difficult stretch, I have to say, for Atlanta United, but you got to try to just scratch and claw for any points you can to kind of just keep yourself in touch of that playoff line by the time that those players can come in. And then I think once those you do get players come in, we do expect 2 designated players to enter this team, this transfer window, then that could inject the kind of quality and just kind of lift that this team needs in the dressing room, that confidence that they need, that this is, they can turn a new page, turn over a new leaf, and then make a real charge at it in the stretch run of the season.
What's the identity of this team right now? It seems like without, I know you just said they're going to bring in 2 new DPs, but without their 2 best offensive players, without a head coach right now, what do you think this team can still hang its hat on in terms of where they are as a franchise?
I don't think they have one right now, Chris. Like, I think that that's a great question because I think you just nailed the hammer on the head there, which is that this team does feel rudderless right now. Like, I was at that Indy 11 game in Kennesaw, and it's a small stadium. You can really kind of have a more intimate view of the team because you can hear the benches, you know, both benches, by the way, and the contrast between a team that feels like it does really have a core identity and this lower league team who's coming in to play hard and defend and be a pest, you know, and they kind of take pride in that. And you compare that to this Atlanta team who kind of considers themselves as this big club, this, you know, this big, you know, winning team, but they're depleted right now and they've still, you know, they've got some, you know, academy products and young kids out there that are playing because they're trying to rotate, obviously, in that competition. And that's it, Chris. Like, they don't have that kind of identity. And I think that that's, I hate to say this, but I think that it's one of the reasons why Rob Valentino, I do not think ultimately will be this team's head coach because, you know, make no mistake, this is kind of a dress rehearsal for him. But I don't really see them coming together in any kind of coherent way. They've done some things with the formation. I think some of the changes that Rob Valentino made upon Gonzalo Pineda's departure, I think those helped the team initially. But, you know, I think these are the really important weeks that coming up here, these next few weeks for Rob Valentino to try to, like, put his grip on the squad and see if he can kind of implement any kind of changes that can help them form that identity, especially when these players come in. And so that's going to be a very important point because I don't think it's something that they have right now. And I think they look around the dressing room, they look around each other, and there's just not a lot of confidence. You know, there's just question marks, and that's never where you want to be when you're a team that's looking to, you know, put themselves back at the forefront of the league.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, as we're wrapping up with our buddy Joe Patrick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Braves hit the quote-unquote halfway point. We know it's not, but what did you make of their season so far in terms of being able to stay resilient after losing their best starting pitcher and their best player?
Yeah, total roller coaster. I've moved away from the ledge now from where I was maybe if we were to have this conversation a month ago. Feel a little bit better. You feel like there's a little bit more consistency from the lineup. I feel like with a guy like Spencer Schwellenbach, you're seeing a young starting pitcher actually kind of steadily improve over the course of the season, where that hasn't happened for a lot of these other highly talented pitchers for the Braves who have come up and they've tried to use with these guys who have gone down. So feeling a little bit better. Have to see what Alex Anthopoulos does at the trade deadline to really bolster this team. And I think that for the Braves, it's going to kind of be similar to a season like 2021 or even 2020, 2019, where it's just like, well, I guess not 2020 because that was COVID. But, you know, can you just make that stretch run count? Can you kind of get hot at the right time? If so, I think this Braves team has a lot of talent and could potentially do a lot of damage. But at the same time, it's hard to think of them as obviously the kind of juggernaut kind of team that we thought they were going to be heading into the season.
All right, Joe, revel in victory this weekend. Light a stogie, pour yourself a stiff one, and enjoy.
All right, thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, that is our buddy Joe Patrick. Victory, sweet, sweet victory for Team Dukes in the inaugural summer games for 92.9 The Game. Looking forward to see what we have in store next year, an even bigger, bolder, better year two for the summer games. A lot of fun, and thanks to all of our partners who made that happen. All right, back to the phones with you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Landry Fields made a comment. That's right. Team Dukes in the 92.9 The Game inaugural summer game. Sweet, sweet victory. The nectar of victory came their way. A morsel of greatness. A time had by all that will live in the bowels of 92.9 The Game. The annals of lore, of passion, desire, and greatness. That's what our Joe Patrick got to experience as he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, did I accurately describe your time during the inaugural 92.9 The Game Summer Games?
Oh, Chris, I enjoyed that so much. You know, that's why we play the game, so that we get to hear those plaudits about ourselves and think greatly about ourselves, and that's really what this is all about. But no, and the other thing is that we let it wire to wire. We never let it go. You know, we basically had this thing in hand. We actually gave them an opportunity to salvage something in the last day, and then we snuffed that hope. So yeah, it was a total domination by Team Duke.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear Bo Johnson talking about rules and all that. Listen, man,
unbelievable antics from Bo Johnson. Could not believe that.
Yeah, from a guy that really, you know, is one of the stalwarts here at 92.9 The Game, a real hard hat kind of guy. I'm just disappointed in that response and that he couldn't, you know, on a day where he got to bring his beautiful family to the water park free of charge and have a great day. That was his response at the end of it. I just, just really, you know, a miss by our very own Bo Johnson. But all right, plenty to talk about, Joe. Camp is opening up very soon. Some might say too soon, based on the state of the Falcons' defense and the holes that continue to be there. I've been asking you all summer, and I'm going to ask you again, is this team just rolling with either Mike Hughes or Clark Phillips at CB2?
Yeah, I think so. And we'll see if it lands that way for opening kickoff week one. But I would think that will be it, because even guys who get cut from other rosters are probably not going to be at the caliber even of these guys. And so, yeah, I mean, listen, this defense is a major gamble by the Falcons this year in terms of getting this defense to the caliber that it will need to be if this team wants to accomplish what it wants to, which is obviously to win the NFC South and then even do some damage in the playoffs, I think. But obviously that first goal is just to win the division. And you're going into it with, I think, a major question mark at that CB2 position. And by the way, at the CB1 position, you have a major question mark there long-term, where you have yet to sign A.J. Terrell to a contract extension, which I thought would have happened by now. So that's another kind of curious point. And we'll see. It seems obviously less likely now that gets wrapped up before training camp starts. So TBD on that front as well on the long term, but then also, you know, the pass rush, which I know, Chris, you've been, you know, out in front of more than anybody talking about the question marks around that position and how the Falcons obviously went away from addressing it with their top draft pick in this most recent draft. So there are a lot of questions about this defense, but I think ultimately the gamble is that the Falcons are leaning on Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator, to basically coach these guys up and get them. I don't think this, you know, front office is under any illusions that this is going to be some great defense or anything, but I think that the way they think about it is, can we get to league average or maybe even a little bit below league average, because they expect their offense to be that good. And that's just the way that they're going to approach this season. It's going to be a big departure from what the Falcons team has been these last 3 years.
All right. So the rebuttal to that is always, they're going to scheme up sacks and they're going to scheme up coverage. Right. But Joe, you need to have players that are able to do that. I don't care what your approach is. You need to have if your approach is, I'm going to let my corners go on an island one-on-one, well, you better have Stephon Gilmore and Darrell Revis back there to cover those guys. Like, I don't care what the strategy is, but you need the horses that are able to do it. Did we lose Joe Patrick there?
Yeah, sorry about that. My headphones died there. No, Chris, I'm with you. I think the model is essentially what the Rams were last year in terms of what they plan to do with the defense, which is, you know, that Rams defense didn't have star players on it, but they were they still weren't even I wouldn't consider them a good defense at all, or maybe even an average defense, but they weren't embarrassingly bad, and they made offenses work, you know, for what they got on the field. And I think that this team thinks that the Falcons offense is going to be a little bit better than that Rams offense was even last year, even though they had, you know, especially by the end of the year, that offense was really rolling, and I think that's what the Falcons would hope to see. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It is it is a gamble. But I mean, I think that you look specifically at what their hopes are for what Raheem Morris can do with the young players specifically. And so in that draft, they obviously didn't go with the defense on with that first pick that they had in the top 10, but then it was a slew of defensive picks after that. And so I think that's really what they're going to be relying on. And it will be interesting. I think there's also some strategy in terms of how they want to like structure and build this defense long-term, because you also have guys like Grady Jarrett, who is a big question mark coming into this season, obviously coming off the injury and the contract that he has and the age that he's on, and what kind of the strategy is going to be in terms of constructing these contracts with some of your key players on that defensive side of the ball going into the future.
All right, on the offensive side now, as we're talking with our buddy Joe Patrick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Thomas with you until 6:30. How much of a leash does Caleb McGarry get, especially early on, because Kirk probably isn't going to be at 100%. If he can't pass block or doesn't make a major improvement, do you think, despite the contract, that they'd pull him early?
You know, it will be interesting to see what happens if that does happen. I will say that I think Caleb McGarry was a little bit better last year pass blocking than we remember, because the bad was so bad, and it was especially early in that season when I think it was that first game against the Panthers where he was just getting absolutely smoked by Brian Burns. That was tough to see. But then I think, you know, the team actually got pretty good pass protection out of Storm Norton, who's still on the roster as this team's swing tackle. And, you know, if things do get off to a bad start for Caleb McGarry, I am also curious, Chris, because I talked to Dwayne Ledford earlier this summer, and I kind of was just sitting with him, and we kind of just went through, you know, basically left to right across the offensive line, like, you know, what he sees in these players. And, you know, there is, while there are some concerns, obviously, with what Caleb McGarry can do in the pass protection game, what he offers in the run game, and it's similar to Drew Dahlin, what he offers in the run game is quite unique. Like, there aren't a lot of right tackles who can really kind of blow guys not just off the ball, but then drive them 5-10 yards like Caleb McGarry can do from that right tackle spot. So I think that he still does offer this offensive line some benefits. He's still a quality player, but you're right. I think they're going to have to be a little strategic in terms of how they design their pass protections to help Caleb McGarry and not leave him on an island. And I think that, you know, it's great to have a quarterback, frankly, like Kirk Cousins, who's going to be able to check into those things and help be able to even potentially design some of this stuff throughout the week when he's looking at the opponent and he's, you know, thinking about the, you know, his experiences in the past and trying to help Caleb McGarry, because obviously it's in Kirk Cousins' interest to make sure that his bases are covered on all fronts. So it is something to watch out for sure. And I think that that's one of the reasons why this team has yet to kind of really invest in Caleb McGarry in the long term. They're kind of like, they gave him the contract extension, but it's one where they can kind of bail out of it at any time. So I think it's kind of a big prove it year for Caleb McGarry, to be honest.
All right, you are, if I'm not mistaken, on the call for the pre and post game for Atlanta United today.
I am.
What do you make of what's gone on there the last couple of weeks, Joe?
Man, it is absolutely insane what's happening at Atlanta United right now with all the players that have gone out. Now there's rumors of players who are coming in, but they wouldn't be able to come in at the earliest until sometime next week, so we'll see how those rumors have developed. At the same time, on the field, you had interim head coach Rob Valentino come in, had a decent unbeaten run, although I would kind of, you know, say that it's not like the team, I think, was playing a whole lot different. I think that they just so happened to, like, get the, you know, they just started kind of getting the breaks like these interim coaches tend to do when they first come in. But now this team has lost 3 games in their own all competitions, including a really backbreaking one to a lower league team in a trophy competition where you had a real chance to win a trophy in the U.S. Open Cup. They lost to Indy 11 here at home at Kennesaw last week, and it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from that. This is a lot of road games for this team. It'll be their third consecutive league road game in a row, third road game out of 4 in all competitions. So tough. These are the toughest part of the season for the squad because it's depleted with these guys who have left the team and the talent hasn't come in yet. So you just got to try to survive for these next 3-4 games or so. And it's a difficult stretch, I have to say, for Atlanta United, but you got to try to just scratch and claw for any points you can to kind of just keep yourself in touch of that playoff line by the time that those players can come in. And then I think once those, you do get players come in, we do expect 2 designated players to enter this team, this transfer window, then that could inject the kind of quality and just kind of lift that this team needs in the dressing room, that confidence that they need, that this is, they can turn a new page, turn over a new leaf, and then make a real charge at it in the stretch run of the season.
What's the identity of this team right now? It seems like without, I know you just said they're going to bring in two new DPs, but without their two best offensive players, without a head coach right now, what do you think this team can still hang its hat on in terms of where they are as a franchise?
I don't think they have one right now, Chris. Like, I think that's a great question because I think you just nailed the hammer on the head there, which is that this team does feel rudderless right now. Like, I was at that Indy 11 game in Kennesaw, and it's a small stadium. You can really kind of have a more intimate view of the team because you can hear the benches, you know, both benches, by the way, and the contrast between a team that feels like it does really have a core identity and this lower league team who's coming in to play hard and defend and be a pest, you know, and they kind of take pride in that. And you compare that to this Atlanta team who kind of considers themselves as this big club, this, you know, this big, you know, winning team, but they're depleted right now, and they've still, you know, they've got some, you know, academy products and young kids out there that are playing because they're trying to rotate, obviously, in that competition, and that's it, Chris. Like, they don't have that kind of identity, and I think that that's, I hate to say this, but I think that that's, it's one of the reasons why Rob Valentino, I do not think ultimately will be this team's head coach because, you know, make no mistake, this is kind of a dress rehearsal for him. But I don't really see them coming together in any kind of coherent way. They've done some things with the formation. I think some of the changes that Rob Valentino made when upon Gonzalo Pineda's departure, I think those helped the team initially. But, you know, I think these are the really important weeks that coming up here, these next few weeks for Rob Valentino to try to, like, put his grip on the squad and see if he can kind of implement any kind of changes that can help them form that identity, especially when these players come in. And so that's going to be a very important point because I don't think it's something that they have right now. And I think they look around the dressing room, they look around each other, and there's just not a lot of confidence. You know, there's just question marks, and that's never where you want to be when you're a team that's looking to, you know, put themselves back at the forefront of the league.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, as we're wrapping up with our buddy Joe Patrick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Braves hit the quote-unquote halfway point. We know it's not, but what did you make of their season so far in terms of being able to stay resilient after losing their best starting pitcher and their best player?
Yeah, total roller coaster. I've moved away from the ledge now from where I was maybe if we were to have this conversation a month ago. Feel a little bit better. You feel like there's a little bit more consistency from the lineup. I feel like with a guy like Spencer Schwellenbach, you're seeing a young starting pitcher actually kind of steadily improve over the course of the season, where that hasn't happened for a lot of these other highly talented pitchers for the Braves who have come up and they've tried to use with these guys who have gone down. So feeling a little bit better. Have to see what Alex Anthopoulos does at the trade deadline to really bolster this team. And I think that for the Braves, it's going to kind of be similar to a season like 2021 or even 2020, 2019, where it's just like, well, I guess not 2020 because that was COVID. But, you know, can you just make that stretch run count? Can you kind of get hot at the right time? If so, I think this Braves team has a lot of talent and could potentially do a lot of damage. But at the same time, it's hard to think of them as obviously the kind of juggernaut kind of team that we thought they were going to be heading into the season.
All right, Joe, revel in victory this weekend. Light a stogie, pour yourself a stiff one, and enjoy.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. That is our buddy Joe Patrick. Victory. Sweet, sweet victory for Team Dukes in the inaugural summer games for 92.9 The Game. Looking forward to see what we have in store next year, an even bigger, bolder, better year two for the summer games. A lot of fun, and thanks to all of our partners who made that happen. All right, back to the phones with you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Landry Fields made a comment. Trey Young, not exactly locking him down as the future of the franchise. So, would you be okay with trading Trey, full rebuild, collect as many picks as you can? Because I don't think they're doing anything this year anyway. If you think I'm wrong, you tell me. 404-726-0929. Your calls on the future of the Hawks when we get back.